السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حم، والكتاب المبين. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة، إنا كنا منذرين، فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم، أمرا من عندنا، إنا كنا مرسلين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, our sisters at the madrasa, those listening over receivers, and also all listeners over Channel Islam radio station. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazal, his ihsan, that he gave us an opportunity blessed us with this mubarak night. All of us are aware of our sins, our weaknesses, our shortcomings. There is nobody who is perfect. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows what our zahir condition is and our batin condition is, what our outward is and our inside is. Allah ta'ala being our creator, Allah ta'ala being our sustainer, our cherisher, he dearly loves his creation. And Allah Ta'ala does not want to see anyone in his creation enter into Jahannam, fire of hell. Therefore, he created so many conditions for us to make tawbah. He blessed us with many days which are auspicious, blessed us with many nights which are auspicious, blessed us with the whole month of Ramadan. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent 124,000 Prophets, Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. He sent the last and final messenger, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala revealed the Quran Sharif upon Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. So many ayat and so many verses there are in the Quran Sharif of the gardens of paradise and what Allah Ta'ala has in store for those who are obedient, for those who are pious, for those who are righteous. And for those who were negligent, made mistakes, had weaknesses, had shortcomings, but they did not brag about their sins, they did not brag about their shortcomings, they did not advertise and propagate their sins and vices and evils, but repented, sincerely repented over those sins that they had committed. So they also become worthy of entry into Jannah. So in other words, Allah Ta'ala wants all of us to enter into Jannah. And not only us, but the whole Quran Sharif is there as a guidance for the entire mankind. And if the entire mankind has to accept the guidance of the Quran Sharif and accept Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as the last and final messenger and truly believe in the hereafter, in the day of judgment, then what shortage is there of space in Jannat, even if the entire mankind has to obey, has to believe. There is no shortage of space. Allah Ta'ala's mercy also is unlimited, unlimited. Out of His 100 mercies, He only sent down one mercy into this world. 1% only came into this world. And because of that, we find the lions with its cubs, the elephants with its cubs, whether it is the horse or whether it is the mule or whether it is the goat or the sheep or even the snakes and the scorpions, whatever it may be in the creation of Allah Ta'ala, and then whether it is human beings, whether it is a jinnat, all the mercy that we see in the world, people showing mercy and kindness, and how much of mercy the mothers of the world show to their children, how much of mercy the fathers show, how much of mercy brothers, sisters, friends, family members, ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam show, when there's some disaster, some calamity, some problem somewhere in the world, all the mercy that we show, all that is just from that one part that came into this world. 99 parts of that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala kept with him for the akhirat, for the hereafter. How many people will get forgiven even in the akhirat? Therefore, the other night when I mentioned that this ummat is called ummat-e-marhuma, mercy has been shown on this ummat. Different explanations have been given why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam called it the ummat-e-marhuma. One is that it is these type of nights, occasions like this, where a person now expresses great remorse, great regret, is making tawbah, istighfar over his sins, and he gets forgiven. And sometimes it is the sicknesses, the illness, the weakness, the accidents, the operations that the person undergoes, and all these type of things that happen. There is a shake-up, there's a tremor. And in that tremor, it's not only the bad people that get affected, even the good people will get affected. If there is an earthquake, it's not only the bad people that will be affected, even the good people will be affected. Gale force winds, tsunamis, now all these type of things will sometimes take away the good people also. So those people who went away like that, or they suffered long periods of illness, now it becomes a means of forgiveness of their sins. Then another explanation that when the people will go into the graves, when they will go into the graves, then they could have gone there with plenty of sin. The person sometimes was not even a namazi. He never even gave zakat properly. He was engaging in adultery, fornication, whatever he may have been doing. We don't know. And the person left this world. But it's just his luck that he had in his family, amongst his friends, and amongst his companions. There were people who were also pious ones. There were people who were ulama. There were people who were huffaz of the Quran Sharif. There were people who were performing Hajj and Umrahs, or doing other good deeds and actions. And they cried and made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, this father of mine who passed away, forgive him. Bless him with Jannat. Somebody else read and sent sawab to him. Somebody read Yasin Sharif and sent sawab. Somebody read Kalima La ilaha illallah and sent sawab. Somebody read Durud Sharif and sent sawab. Now all this type of sawab that kept reaching that person, the person got forgiven. He may have suffered a little in the grave, but after that he was forgiven. And when he will rise on the day of Qiyamah, he will be like a forgiven person. So ummat-e-marhuma, how much of hope Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given to this ummat. How much of hope Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to his creation. Now if we do not want to make use of it, then it is our weakness. Now this ayat of the Quran Sharif, there is definitely a difference of opinion whether it is related to Laylatul Barat or not. The majority of them, and that is the correct version, that it is not related to Laylatul Barat. Although things have been mentioned in there, which we are going to discuss about Laylatul Barat, but because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that we reveal the Quran in the night, inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubaraka. The Quran Sharif was revealed in the night that is Mubarak. So everyone takes it to really mean that it was Laylatul Qadr. Because that is a foregone conclusion. It is something that is in the Quran Sharif. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. So Quran Sharif was revealed in the night of Qadr. So therefore we cannot say that all these things were in Laylatul Barat. Quran Sharif was not revealed in the night of Barat. However, those who have gone in that direction, and there are some Sahaba, there are some Tabi'in and others also Mufassirin. So what they say is that we have to reconcile what they really mean, is what it really means, is that there were three different kinds of revelations of the Quran Sharif. One revelation of the Quran Sharif was from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It was revealed onto Lawh-e-Mahfuz. Lawh-e-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. The entire Quran Sharif, first Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala recorded it there. And then the second revelation was from there onto the Samaya Dunya, the first heaven, and then thereafter from there over the Quran Sharif was revealed upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the night of Qadr, and then it continued over the 23 years of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life. So those who say it was Laylatul Barat, it means that that hukam or that decision to reveal the Quran Sharif was taken in this night of Barat, that decision. And thereafter what I have mentioned, that is how the revelation continues. So in other words, again, the major decisions are taken in this night. Now that Hadith Sharif we have discussed many times, and of course with regards to Laylatul Barat, there may not be such kind of authentic Hadith as people are looking for in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, but that does not mean when there are so many other Ahadith related to Laylatul Barat, then how can we ignore this auspicious and Mubarak night? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there are many Ahadith related to Laylatul Barat. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala has famous hadith, which is in Mishkat Sharif also. And there are many other hadith also. So therefore we have to understand that sometimes the hadith Sharif may not be in Bukhari Sharif or Tirmizi Sharif. It does not mean that it is then not an authentic hadith. It's a whole science of hadith Sharif which those people who know hadith Sharif understand. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentioned that he entered the house. He entered the house and then he was preparing to go to sleep. He was removing his clothes and suddenly he put it on again and he went away. It is mentioned there, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, قَامَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ رُوَيْدًا وَانْتَعَلَ رُوَيْدًا وَفَتَحَ الْبَابَ رُوَيْدًا وَأَغْلَقَ الْبَابَ رُوَيْدًا. Now this is something that we have discussed before. Now look at the words that she uses. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got up very, very gently, we will say. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because of that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was as if she was asleep. So he got up very, very gently. He put on his shoes very, very gently. No big din and big noise. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam opened the door also very softly. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he put on his shoes also, she says it was very softly. And then he left. Now just that much is sufficient to teach us akhlaq. And this is where our major weakness is, that we don't have the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course, many of us, if we have to do that at night, then the suspicion of the wife will be genuine. We don't go to Qabristan. Any case, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so he went, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha taught Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and just give you the gist of that hadith sharif. She thought that he went to one of the other wives, so she also followed him. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha dearly loved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he dearly loved her. 2,210 ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has been narrated by Hazrat Aisha. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a great mufassir, but he also, we will say, was a student of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Many things that he had to query from behind the curtain, he used to query from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Aisha's fazail, there are so many, a manaqib. So she was concerned that where did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam go, so she followed. She saw that he is in the graveyard, Baqiya Gharqat, and there he is engaged in deep-hearted prayers. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making dua. So she returned quickly home. After a little while, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam returns. But because she was young and she was still breathing heavily, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam queried. So she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, this is what I thought. Again, no question of any lie. Whatever was in the heart came onto the tongue. There was no question of lying. And there was no question of lying also. because everyone knew that even if they had to lie, of course they were not going to lie, but even if they had to, Allah Ta'ala will inform him through Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, "Oh Aisha, do you think I would have betrayed you?" Now again Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Oh Aisha, do you think I would have betrayed you?" Of course there was no question of betrayal. Thereafter Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks her for permission to engage in ibadah. Informs her that this was the night of Barat, in which Allah Ta'ala forgives more people than even the hair on the animals of the Bani Kalb tribe. The goat of Bani Kalb. Bani Kalb was well known to have plenty of goat, sheep, cattle. So Allah Ta'ala forgives more people than even that. However, those people who are associating partners with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, or those who harbor malice, resentment, jealousy, such kind of things against their Muslim brothers and sisters, by way of explanation, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not forgive them. If you look at the other ahadith, then certain other things have been mentioned there. But we will discuss that later inshallah. But at this stage, this hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam straight away gives us so much of lessons, so much of lessons. The great concern that we must not cause harm unnecessarily to any person. Don't be one who causes harm to anyone. We must always be those who are of some benefit to others. Whether it is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, whoever it may be, but we must be of benefit to somebody and not cause harm without justification. If it is jihad or something else, it's different. But without justification, look at the kind of difficulties that we create for people. Instead of creating ease and comfort and removing anything that will cause difficulty and cause a problem, we will create the problem. And this is something that I have repeatedly said, that when it comes to our parking of our cars, and when it comes to our nikahs and walimas, and our functions and our engagement parties and other parties, we are unconcerned about what we do. We say, if the neighbors are doing that, then what's the difference if we do it? If they also have loud music, and if they also engage in all kinds of dancing, singing and disturbance of the whole neighborhood, then what difference if it makes? If it's my house also, I've got a wedding, I've got an engagement party, if we do the same thing, what's the difference? The difference is that we are Muslims. We're supposed to be role models. Those people were supposed to inquire. They were supposed to become inquisitive. That why is it that when this Muslim neighbor has any kind of function or party, it does not disturb the whole neighborhood? So much so that our azans also repeatedly I have said that I really just can't understand that what is the purpose of having such loud azans that our azan reaches north, south, east, west, all parts of the world, and azans from all other masajid reach right here. Many a times we are making Allahu Akbar here, and because the azan is 15 minutes late somewhere else, the Imam Sahib is reading Qiraat and that loud azan is interfering in his Qiraat. Now is that Islam? The Shariat say that, the Quran Sharif say that, in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, did they have such kind of loudspeakers? We use it, there's no problem. But it should be for the area around which people are living. Not that every masjid's azan must reach the other part of the world. Then when we get complaints, then we become very furious and angry. It's our constitutional right. What constitutional right? Does Islam give that constitutional right? But we won't learn. So we're supposed to be role models. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made us ummatis of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, that was his akhlaq. Look at that, it's his wife. But he does not want to disturb her sleep also. Even when he is to enter the house, he is to enter in such a way that if a person is sleeping, he will not be disturbed. But if he is awake, then he will hear the soft assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and respond to it. In everything, we go to our workplaces, we have so much of different responsibilities, obligations in the outside world, so sometimes we return at different parts of the night home. Now somebody will be returning early part of the morning, somebody returning late night, and is unconcerned, and especially those who are on drugs, and they are returning at that part, The parents are getting frustrated, angry, they don't know what to do. So therefore, let's take a lesson. I always say, don't lose hope, no matter how far the person may have gone, but don't lose hope. But at the same time, there must be some change that we must start making. So this is the night for that change. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed that this is what happened. Then if you look at all the other ahadith with regards to Laylatul Barat put together, then we see that the people who have committed kufr or shirk, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala leaves them. In other words, gives them an opportunity still. They may repent, they may accept Islam, they may come into deen. And those people who are harboring malice or jealousy, or those who have broken the family relationships, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala leaves them. He does not look at them with a glance of mercy even on this night until they have asked for forgiveness. Then of course the person who is drinking wine, I discussed that in the Jummah Bayan, that he may have said wine, but that doesn't mean only wine. What about all the other intoxicants that the people are taking? Unless of course the person makes sincere tawbah, that means this night has been given that the person now makes sincere tawbah. Ya Allah, I was taking drugs, I was on wine and alcohol, I was in adultery and fornication, I was on the haram sites on the internet, and I was on the TV and movies. Now all this, now the person is making sincere tawbah, Ya Allah, I do not wish to go back to those sins again. And if the person has had bad relationship, then he picks up the courage to say, make us maaf. There were two friends, very, very close friends in Kandla in those days. Very close friends. They had a dispute over some property or some farm or something of that kind. Now they're very close friends. Because of this dispute, they had to go to court. They couldn't resolve it, the local people couldn't resolve it, so they had to go to court. Those two friends used to travel in the same transport. They take the tiffins with. When they stop outside the court there, those courts in those days, when they stop there, then they open the tiffins, they both eat together. Whatever this person brought, that person brought, they sit together and eat together. Thereafter they go into court, they give the evidence. When they come outside, they again sit in the same transport, they come back home. And they hug each other and shake hands and they go back. So there was a dispute, no problem. There can be disputes. But look at the relationship that they still kept. Now this subject, tonight's subject is such a subject we can go on whole night, so I'm just giving you here and there what my English teacher once mentioned in my essay that I wrote, that your essay is a conglomeration of disjointed facts. So they used to go like that and come back like that. So if there is a dispute between brothers, sisters, friends, uncles, aunts, then this is the way to go about it. That whatever the dispute, resolve it. But with regards to relationship, we are friends, we are brothers, we are brothers and sisters, parents and children. Look at the number of people who are not talking to their own parents. And this is one thing that is very, very important in this night. Asking for forgiveness. Even this morning on the same channel, Islam station, the question was that there are so many people who are saying that how long must we forgive? How long must we keep on forgiving? As Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his life was full of nothing but forgiveness. وَسَارِئُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَالْقَارِي صَحَبْ read in the namaz. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Race, hasten, haste towards what? Forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There's no time to go into a detailed discussion of the ayat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that Jannat, you are asked to race towards, hasten towards. The width of that is the heavens and the earth. It is prepared for those who have got taqwa in their lives. They have got fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They are those people who spend الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. In good times also they spend in good causes, and when they are what we may term in our time as some recession, and when there is not such a flood of money coming in, but still Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed them, with sufficiency. So they even spend at that time also. And even if they do not have that much to, but they spend. And then the most important thing after that related to this night is وَالْقَازُ وَيْمِينَ الْغَيْرِ. And they swallow their anger. Qazm was a word used by the Arabs at that time, that when they had these water bags. So when they used to tie that knot on the mouth of the bag, after the water was filled, they used to tie the knot on the... So that is what they used to call qazm. Allah Ta'ala uses that word, وَالْقَازُ وَيْمِينَ الْغَيْرِ. We say, swallow their anger. It is translated as that. But that is what it was, that they close that mouth. That means that anger that came inside before it comes out through the mouth, you close it up. Hazrat Shah Ataullah Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali, once a person came to him and he said, I asked so many ulama, everyone failed, nobody can answer my question. He said, nobody can answer my question. So what is your question? He said, is there such a thing that a person goes on drinking, he goes on drinking, but his fast doesn't break. That he can go on drinking in the month of Ramadan, whilst fasting, but his fast doesn't break. What kind of drink is that? That if he goes on drinking, his fast doesn't break. Now obviously, which alim is going to say, yes, you can drink water, you can drink juice, or you can drink something, he's going to break the fast. Hazrat Shah Ataullah Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali was a very, very great alim. His talks used to take place after Isha, finish up Fajr time, and nobody used to get up. That's the kind of Quran Sharif he used to read as if it is coming down from the heavens. He used to say in poetic language, he said, oh, Jibreel, addressing Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Poetry, of course. That, oh, Jibreel, that Quran Sharif which you brought over 23 years upon the heart of my grandfather, because he was a Sayyid, so he used to say my grandfather, that is Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, that whole Quran Sharif is in my heart now. That whole Quran Sharif is in my heart. Therefore, I always say the hafiz of the Quran Sharif, he must have azmat of the Quran Sharif. What has he got in his heart? Nevertheless, so he was asked this question. Immediately he responded. He said, yes, there is such a thing. He said, what is that? He said, what you must do is first go to the shop and buy one shoe with spikes. Buy one boot with spikes. And then give it to somebody. And tell him to give it to you on your head, one after the other. And as your anger is rising, as the anger is rising, more and more angry you're getting as he's giving it to you with a spiked boot. So then you keep swallowing your anger in the month of Ramadan. You keep swallowing that juice. So your fast won't break. So that you must drink. In other words, when you get very angry, then swallow that anger. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, what rewards is going to give to those people who forgive? And that is the most important thing. So they say, now we have reached a limit. How long must we go on forgiving and forgiving? So they say, everybody knows. How many of us? We have heard, or all of us have heard, or most of us have heard, the incident of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. There's no time to go into all details and the ayat. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, beloved wife, the same Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, but she was accused, na'uzu billah, of adultery. Wife of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, pure, pak, chaste. But all these were lessons for us that if these very, very pak and pure and chaste people were not left without being troubled, then if we are troubled a little, what must we get so worried about? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's wife. Nevertheless, the Quran Sharif ayat were revealed. Until the day of Qiyamah, people will read those ayat in Surah Nur. And they will understand that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was chaste, she was pure. وَلَا يَعْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُوتُوا لِلْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَوُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. There was one person by the name of Mista who also somehow got caught up. There was a young person and in the rumors that were spreading, so he too was involved in this mischief. But of course after that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala forgave them. But when the ayat were revealed, so Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala who was assisting this Mista, I'm saying it was his cousin when he was assisting him. As in our times, we'll say we're giving him hampers, giving him food, clothing, shelter. He was assisting him. So now he took a qasam, he said, I'm not going to assist him anymore. How can he engage in this kind of scandal against my beloved daughter? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed these verses without going to a translation meaning of everything. But at the end of it, Allah tuhibbuna an yaghfir Allahu lakum. Don't you desire that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala should forgive you? So he said, definitely, definitely, we want Allah ta'ala to forgive us. So if you want Allah ta'ala to forgive, then what must we do? Then we must forgive also. So that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala did not only forgive, but it is mentioned that he doubled up whatever assistance he was giving. Can we find one person like that today? That he doubled that assistance to the person who carried out the scandal, or who was passing this type of mischievous rumors, and against whom a daughter who was the wife of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala doubles his assistance. These are the type of examples they have set for us. There are so many incidents, there are so many incidents in the life of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And as far as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is concerned, his life is filled with it. Filled with it. In fact, there are hadiths of Hazrat Atta radiallahu ta'ala. Bukhari Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is addressed, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidam wa mubashiram wa nazira, wa hirzal lil ummiyin, sammaituka al mutawakkil. Anta abdi wa rasuli, anta abdi wa rasuli, sammaituka al mutawakkil. Laysa bi fazzin wala ghaliz, wala sakhabin fil aswaq, wala yadfau sayya bis sayya, walakin ya'fu wa yaghfir. Hukama qal. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala described the sifat and the qualities and the attributes of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Besides the other things that have been mentioned there, at the end of it, what is mentioned? And of course Allah ta'ala says that you are not harsh, you are not hard-hearted. This was Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's great sifat. People came into Islam because of this, because of our hard and harsh-heartedness. Our laborers don't want to accept Islam or don't want to even know us. Behind our backs, ask them what did they think of us, what their opinion is of us as bosses. Ask them. Our staff, our maids, our friends, our neighbors, who is really happy with us? You will find exceptions here and there. But generally you will find that there is a great neglect. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, وَلَا يَدْفَوُ السَّيِّعَ بِالسَّيِّعَ وَلَكِنْ يَعْفُوا وَيَخْفِرْ. That you do not repel evil with evil. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not repel evil with evil. What is the best way to remove darkness? To introduce light. Now if a person swears at darkness, if everybody gets together and swears the darkness, will the darkness go? So what is the only way? Introduce light. And that is the light when the person is going to have good akhlaq, when he's going to speak nicely, when he's going to smile, when he's going to cheer, then, and when he's going to share, and when he's going to care, and when he's going to show compassion and mercy and kindness. And if everybody has to do that, so much of light will come into the world. So much of noor, so much of barakat, so much of rahmat. So this night we learn this lesson from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq. That everything he did so silently, gently, no disturbance to anybody. And then he informed also that this is the reason why I did it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he dearly loved his ummah. On one occasion he made dua for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Oh Allah, forgive Aisha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha got so happy, so happy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I make this dua 40 times a day for my ummah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala told him that you have three duas. Three duas I give you. Ask, because all the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past also, they were given one dua which after that finally when they made that dua, their nation was destroyed. As Musa alayhi salatu wasalam prayed for the destruction of that ummah after having made so much of effort on them. As Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam finally prayed for the destruction of those enemies. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was told, make three duas, and it is accepted. Of course, all duas of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but this was special duas. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have asked for so many different things, so many different things. What did he ask? Allahumma ghfir li ummat. Oh Allah, forgive my ummat. The second dua, oh Allah, forgive my ummat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, oh Allah, forgive my ummat. Now the third dua, because there were three, he said, I reserve that for the hereafter, so that I can make dua again for the forgiveness of my ummat that will be going to Jahannam. What kind of love he had for us. And is this the appreciation that we show for that love? That we do everything to displease our Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He is crying for us. He stands on his feet swell. Look at the kind of difficulties that he went through. Such love he had. And every way his concern is that his ummatis must get saved. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us so many lessons. So the parents' rights, yes, I was say, talking about the parents, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not forgive those people who have broken off the relationship or those people who are disobedient to their parents. Now this is a major, major issue in many, many homes. Husbands are in a dilemma, they do not know what to do and how to balance. They either go extreme right or extreme left. On the one hand, there are so many rights of those parents, so many rights. And especially the mothers. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. A person came and said, who has the most right over me? He said, your mother. Who has the most right after that? He said, your mother. Again, who? Then said, your mother. And after that, he said, your father. In the Quran Sharif, wherever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or many places where he mentions his ibadat and worship being solely for him, Allah ta'ala mentions the rights of the parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا.
Be good to your parents. Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ اللَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. Worship is for Allah Ta'ala alone. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Now there's no time to go into detail, tafsir or anything of that kind. I'm just touching here and there. So parents have got great rights. Parents have got great rights. Over little issues, the person just breaks off relationship with parents. And another serious problem in our community now is that many people are going to this Tawizwalas and to the Amils, and those people are saying, your mother did jadu, your father did jadu. Mothers and fathers are also now implicated that they did jadu. And now the son doesn't want to talk to the parents, and the daughters don't want to talk to the parents. Why? Because they did jadu. Which mother and father has got the time to do jadu over the children? It is the biggest money-making racket. And besides that, the kind of sexual abuse and other things that's taking place is unreal. Ask us, because we deal with matters. Don't send your wives and your daughters like that, unaccompanied. And even accompanied, we have to be very, very careful who we choose. And if that person is really pious, righteous, and can he diagnose, we must have to be certain. So parents have got great rights. There are so many incidents. But in the same way, the children have got rights. The wives have got rights. The others have got rights. Now in the fulfillment of the right of the parent or the mother, there must not be any kind of negligence, or there must not be any kind of injustice to the wife. Most of those husbands who are demanding from the wives, it was what they were supposed to do of their parents. They were supposed to be doing the khidmat of the parents. Whatever the wives do, we must consider that as an ihsan, as a kindness, if they are making khidmat of our parents. It is their ihsan. And when a person does a favor, then at that time we show appreciation. We don't demand more. If a person comes and gives somebody a gift, he gave him a jersey or a jacket, or he gave him a watch. Now the person says, Why you brought this watch? Why didn't you bring a Rolex watch? Does he say that? Or does he say, thank you very much, Jazakallah? He doesn't demand. So in the same way, now if those wives are making some khidmat of the mother, of the parents, then we must appreciate, thank them, give them some gifts, make them happy, make dua for them. Then they will do it with even more love. Here, because of those demands that we make, then look at the problems that are being experienced in different homes. So on the one hand, that there's a need for that balance. And on the other hand, those children who just over little things, trivial things, just break off the relationship. It is that Hadith Sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which he said that time will come when people will bring their friends very close and they will distance their fathers. When the fathers come, they will be not happy. With friends, they will go out of their way to entertain them and to pay for everything for them. The mothers will be disobeyed. So now this is the thing that we have to understand in this Mubarak night, those people who have broken up some family relationship. Then again with family, the extended family. Therefore, Nabi Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was very wise. It's not a masla, I'm not giving you a ruling. But as Umar radiallahu ta'ala told his governors, that tell all the people, wherever his governors went, that they must maintain good family relationship. They must maintain good family relationship, because that is the hukam of the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala's curse is upon those people who break off those relationships. A whole community is deprived when there is just one person that is not talking with some member of his family. Just whole community is deprived. So therefore, this is not a masla, what I am saying, but Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala told them that must tell everybody, maintain good family relationship. Now that is the hukam and order. But thereafter he says that they must not be neighbors. Family members must not live as neighbors. Now you and I will ask that what is wrong with that? So now that was not a ruling. He did not give some kind of command. It was like a mashwara that he was giving, a kind of advice that he was giving. He said that when those people who are very closely knit or very close in family relationship, they should not be neighbors. Now look at his wisdom, that when you are going to be neighbors, then if something or the other happens, because you're all the time in and out of the other house, and something may just trigger off some kind of argument, so then finish. You are neighbors, now you are not talking to each other. So where the neighbors already had a right, now this person, he had one right as a Muslim, a second right as a neighbor, and a third right as being a family member. Now look at the problems that have occurred. But as I said, this is not some kind of masla. But we have noticed that many, many places, when son-in-laws, daughters, sons, others come very close, and they live as neighbors, then after some time they say they're not talking. So whoever it may be, now, we must understand that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned that if a person wants an extension of life, what does extension of life here mean? It means barakat in his life. It doesn't mean an extension in that sense of the word. But there are certain things that Allah Ta'ala does not inform the angels. Allah Ta'ala has recorded, for example, this person will live for 60 years. But the angel is told that if this person is going to make sila rahmi, that means he's going to be good and kind to his family members, then Allah Ta'ala will extend his life. In other words, that same 60 that was fixed there. So that is another issue, of course, we can go on discussing. So if a person has broken off his relationship with his parents, and or he was disobedient, or whatever he may have done that caused them hurt, injury and pain. So those people who say, how long must we go on forgiving? That was the issue we were discussing. How long we must go on forgiving? As Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was once sitting next to his uncle, Mullah Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi, and one of his khadims, he did something which upset Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. So he reprimanded him. So the person straight away said, make me maaf. And that was the hallmark of all our pious and righteous ancestors. Hallmark. That the moment somebody said, make me maaf, then finished, there was no question of hesitation. Immediately they made maaf, because that ayat of the Quran Sharif, don't you desire that Allah Ta'ala should forgive you. It was before them all the time. So straight away he said, maaf. But But before that he said, how long must I go on making you mock? He just slipped. He said, why long must I make you mock? How many times? So Mullah Ilyas Rahmatullah whispered in his ears that as many times that you would like Allah Ta'ala to make you mock, you make him mock. As many times as you would like. But remember that sometimes those children, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala, one person came and complained about his son and about his child being very disobedient. He asked him a question, have you made any time baddua for your child? Have you cursed your child any time? He said, yes, that has happened many times. He said, well, then you blame yourself now. Because when you cursed, the curse got accepted. Now if the child is suffering, who do you blame? Therefore, I always say that any mischief the child makes, any kind of mischief you can reprimand, do what you want, but don't curse. That may be the occasion of acceptance of dua, and then you'll cry lifelong. So always let it come onto our tongue that, oh Allah, give him hidayat. Oh Allah, give him hidayat. Give him guidance. Now the parent, if he's going to keep saying, give hidayat, give guidance, inshallah, it'll be accepted. And then the parents themselves also, unfortunately, many, many of them do not have that love for the children. They don't have the time for the children. They don't spend quality time with the children. They have no real friendship with the children. The only thing they do is take some money, go and buy some sweet chocolates, or go to school, college, learn and come back and finish. Go after that football ground, cricket ground, go somewhere, or watch TV, movie, or go with your friends and take drugs. It's of no concern to me. All I need is that as long as I'm educating, you finish. So there is no such thing as the child must be deprived of play, of amusement, of some kind of happiness. Engage them in anything that's constructive, that is beneficial. Buy such kind of games, or give them such kind of things which will be beneficial to them physically, mentally. That is okay. But just to neglect them altogether, how many parents are not even seeing their children for days and days? We get complaints, my father hasn't seen me for months. Especially when there is a breakup of marriage. What have the children done? Why should those masoom children be now neglected? How are we going to answer Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? The father has married another woman now, so does it mean that finish? He's got no responsibility and obligation. Those little children are sometimes with the mothers and sometimes it's the other way around. It's not always the fathers to blame, sometimes the mothers to blame. Sometimes the wives to blame, sometimes the husband to blame, whoever it may be. But if there's injustice, then everybody will suffer. Then in Akhirat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will change the condition. Those who has injustice was shown to them, they will be rewarded. Nevertheless, so we should make sincere tawbah from all kinds of injustice. Make lot of dua. Ask those people for forgiveness. It doesn't cost us anything. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will become pleased. It is the khabar. One day I was speaking on insan ki nazar and khuda ki khabar. Allah ta'ala says he destroys interest. Interest taking and usury and all that, then Allah ta'ala destroys. Yamhamukul rahur riba. Look at all the economies of the world, what happened because of the interest-based economies and banks and everything else, we all know. So outwardly it was looking like it's all extending and growing bigger and bigger, but then the bubble burst. وَيُرْبِسْ sadaqat. And outwardly our eyes see that when you give sadaqat, what happens is a decrease. Now Allah Ta'ala is informing, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informing there's an increase. So are we going to believe the our nazar, our gaze and our sight, or are we going to believe the khabar of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? It was the whole subject. In the same way, when it comes to forgiveness, now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that the izzat, the respect, the honor of a person increases. When you forgive, it increases. That is the khabar of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the information that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given to us. And what is the nazar of ours? What do we see? That look, this person humbled himself. He looked so helpless. The other person won. The other person succeeded. He was victorious. This person said, please make me maaf, please make me maaf. So our eyes are seeing that there's humiliation when you are asking for maaf. Then you always seem like the underdog. So it seems that there's humiliation, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying his izzat increases. Do it sincerely for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and see if it doesn't increase. So there are many, many things like that, but now let's get to one other very important thing, and that is that the list of those who are going to die and the list of those who are going to be born and the risk and sustenance. Now all that list is made and given to the angels. So this is something that we have to be very cautious and careful about, that life is not in our hands. How many of them were alive last year? If their names were in that list of the people that were going to die before this Laylatul Baraz came, then even 1 minute before the Maghrib Azan, they passed away. 1 minute before the Maghrib Salat, they were gone. Before the Maghrib time set in. How many mayats we are hearing about. And we do not know now whether our name is now in that list of people that are going to go. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala only knows. It is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that a person will be planting gardens, but his name is in the list of the dead. The person will be making nikah, but his name is in the list of dead. Not only those that are going to die already in the list of dead, as if this person is already gone. And all the other things you can add on to that, that the person is making big, big plans that I'm going to put up a big shopping mall here and a big complex there and buy one palace here and a mansion there and I'll do this and I'll do that. And now all those planning, there's nothing wrong if the person is planning correctly within the parameters of Sharia, then it is not only permissible, it is necessary. Now we can't say because we don't know whether we are going to die. So now we opened up a shop and when the customer comes in says, you don't have any stocks here, say, but I don't know, I could die tomorrow. So will that be acceptable? So planning, there's nothing wrong, but don't trust in those plans. How many people, what kind of plans they had, and they were gone. I will give one incident because the brother told me himself, he says, Maulana, but without name, of course, he said, you can mention it. And I've been mentioning this many, many times. It's nothing secret. I've been saying how many times that don't leave evidence of sins. We don't know when this visa of life is going to expire. Brother, this big night, we're going a little extra time tonight. Bear with me. So we don't know whether we are going to die or live. So I always say don't leave evidence of sins. Don't leave evidence of sins. We make mistakes as human beings. We are bound to make a slip, something or the other happened. The person had something on his computer, he had something on his cell phone, he had something in his files. But now don't leave evidence, because I can tell you so many cases of where husbands and wife both went together. The only husband and wife living in that house and they're gone. So many places where husband, wife and children who were of the same house all passed away suddenly in an accident. So many cases we hear of. Now, who is going to enter those homes? Many times I have said that people who are in the masjid, people who are in organizations of deen, people who are in so many deeni activities, and we respected them. But when they passed away, now somebody or the other has to enter that house. Now, when they enter the house, then the type of things that they found, the porn films and everything else. Now, look at the exposure of one's sins. So nobody knows what's going to happen. When we are traveling out, do we have any yaqeen that we will definitely return? A person was making tawaf with us. After the tawaf, now we are going towards Safa Marwa. He made the tawaf and he collapsed. While going towards Safa Marwa, he collapsed there and he's gone. In his ihram, what a Mubarak mouth. In Riyazul Jannah one day, some years back, the person was making namaz and he collapsed and he was gone. Now these were Mubarak mouths. People in Salat, they slept away. So now these were Mubarak mouths. But even if it was not this kind of mouth, at least the person must not be in sin. If he just dies while sleeping in his house, nothing wrong. He was in his business buying, selling, transacting halal and he passes away, nothing wrong. If the person was traveling and suddenly accident took place, nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about the evidence of sins that people keep. So then if you're making tawbah also tonight, it means nothing. If the person doesn't have that intention to delete and wipe out from his tape, from his computers and from his cell phones all those numbers of those illicit beloveds and mistresses and everything else, then what kind of a tawbah is that we are going to make tonight? The intention must be sincere. After that, again, if the person just got trapped, then we'll say, well, again make tawbah. Now somebody says that, isn't that just a joke then? It's not a joke, because the person was sincere, he made tawbah. Now suddenly he slipped and fell, so it's just like the person who was walking, he slipped, he fell into the gutter line, and all the dirty water that was going there was entering his ears and nose. So he runs to the bathroom, he took a shower, he changed his clothes, he put some ether and perfume, so he's smelling fresh. Now he's got no intention of going and dropping himself again in the gutter line. Is that a sensible person who says that now again I'm going back to that gutter where the dirty water was flowing because it was really enjoyable and tasty? Then we'll say send this person to the nearest asylum. So just like that, this person had no intention of going back to that sin, and but again shaitan and nafs trapped him. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi bahar hal koshish to aashiq na chode ye rishta mohabbat ka qaim hi rakhe jo sau baar toote to sau baar jode. So make sincere tawbah. Don't leave evidence. So I was telling you about this person, and I'll conclude on that part of it, on that. That he says that he was the last person to visit this prostitute. And it so happened after he left, she died. After he left that house, she died. She had a heart attack or something and she died. So of course, police investigation, so he was the one they arrested. And it took so much of convincing. Of course, the person has changed now. He's made a lot of tawbah from his sin. But look at the lesson. We just don't know when death can come. So therefore, this is not appropriate, it is not right, it is not sensible that a person should be in haram places. People are dying in prostitute quarters, they are dying in clubhouses, they are dying in discos and cinemas, they are dying in rave clubs. We are reading of what kind of places people have died. So therefore, this night, have great hope in the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is, prepared to forgive. No matter how far we may have gone in our sins. Of course, there's so many other things we can discuss, but there's no time to go into all that. Each item we can discuss, so many incidents in it. But at least this much, that we make sincere tawbah from our sins. That is why we have gathered. Then if we have broken up family relationship or anything, at least we ask them for maaf. Resolve the debts and problems. And sincere tawbah means that the person, if he's owing people money, then it doesn't mean that now it's all maaf. The debts and liabilities don't get maaf. We have to make sure. Even if a person cries from the whole day in Arafat and Mina, Muzdalifa and the Roza Mubarak and everywhere else, but it doesn't get maaf. Hurting somebody, causing injury and pain, it doesn't get maaf. We have to ask the person for forgiveness. So this mouth, tune man sab bhi agar paya to kya, seem zar bhi haath aaya to kya, qasr aali shaan bhi banwaya to kya, dab daba bhi apna dikhlaya to kya, ek din marna hai aakhir maut hai, kar le jo karna hai aakhir maut hai. Even if you got some high status and position, whether it is in the government, in the cabinet, in person became a king and a ruler, and if all the gold and silver of the world came into your hands, of course, it's ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. If somebody is rich too, he can be a waliullah, and the poorest of the poor can be a waliullah. But here we are talking the person now got all the silver and the gold, and he became very disobedient. Qasr-e Ali Shaan bhi banwaya to kya? Even if you build the biggest palace in the world, then what? Dab daba bhi apna diklaya to kya? If the person was powerful, strong, and he says, I've got the government which is superpower of the world, and I will do this to you, and I will destroy your government, and I'll do this and everything, to kya? Ek din marna hai aakhir maut. And even if the person was a wrestler of repute, and he was a boxer of repute, then what? One day we will see them collapsing also on the ground. The heavyweights of the world will also collapse on the ground. they also have to leave this world. Ek din marna hai aakhir maut se. Therefore, don't do any injustice. Make your salat, give your zakat, fast in Ramadan, make your hajj. Fulfill the rights of the parents, the wife, the children, the neighbors, the society, the Muslim, the non-Muslim. Don't cause any harm, injury and pain. That's all. Make amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar, and the person will get the highest stages in Jannah.
Daf'atan sar par jo aa pahunche ajal, phir kahan tu aur kahan darul amal, jayega ye bebaha mauqa nikal, phir haath aayegi na umre bebadal.
Suddenly if this death is going to come upon you, then this opportunity of doing good deeds will be snatched away. Then the person can try what he wishes. Finish. Now death has come, is gone. If you ask a person, you must give, sins is a good thing or sins are bad things, you say very bad. So bad things must be given up or must be engaged in. You say must be given up. So the third question, when must he be given up? Before death or after death? Say before death. So who knows when is death going to come?
Tujhko ghafil fikre uqba kuch nahi, khana dhoka aishe duniya kuch nahi. Tujhko ghafil fikre uqba kuch nahi, khana dhoka aishe duniya kuch nahi. Zindagi chand roza kuch nahi, iska bharosa kuch nahi, iska bharosa kuch nahi. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai, kar le jo karna hai, aakhir maut hai.
You got no concern, he says, for the akhirat. Don't be deceived. The world is full of deception. The life is only of a few moments, a few days or a few years. Don't trust in this life. Nobody can trust in life. When is going to go? Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bulale khuda nahi maloom. Aur usme tawsi bhi hai, ghair mumkin aur miyad uski nahi maloom. The visa of life is so uncertain. When Allah Ta'ala cancels it, nobody knows. Extension to the visa is impossible. And the duration of time also is unknown. So therefore, it says, aane wali kisse taali jayegi, jaan teri jaane wali jayegi. Aane wali kisse taali jayegi, jaan teri jaane wali jayegi. Rooh rag rag se nikali jayegi, rooh rag rag se nikali jayegi. Tujh pe ek din khaak dali jayegi. Who will be able to avoid death? Life has come into our bodies, it's definitely going to go. The soul will be extracted from every limb and every part of the body. Tujh pe ek din khaak dali jayegi. Will be transported on the shoulders of people and put into the grave. But of course for the believers, for those who have made tawbah, for those who obeyed Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, then it will be a garden from the gardens of Jannah, so there is nothing to despair. As long as we have charged those emergency batteries, then when the light will go off, the emergency light comes on. Like there are all these actions and deeds, then it will light up our qabr. Jaan theri jaane wali jayegi. Therefore one poet said, but O Allah, the weight of my sins, the weight of my sins was so much that I could not even walk to the graveyard. He says, the weight of my sin was so much that I could not go walking to my grave. So therefore I have come on the shoulders of human beings. My Allah, the weight of my sins, that I could not even walk to my own grave. I have come on the shoulders to my grave. Wallah, I'm so ashamed to show you my face. Therefore, I'm coming with my face covered with the kafan. The kafan has covered my face. Because I'm too ashamed, my Allah, to show you my face. So therefore, my Allah, forgive me. You think Allah Ta'ala is not going to forgive that person? So, jaan teri jaane wali jayegi. Tujh pe ek din khaak daali jayegi. And we'll conclude. Sakht sakht amraz go tu seh gaya. Sakht sakht amraz go tu seh gaya. Char agar sakht jaan bhi jo keh gaya. Kya hua kuch din jo zinda reh gaya. Ek jahan se le fana mein beh gaya. Ek din marna hai aakhir maut hai. Kar le jo karna hai aakhir maut hai. He says, even if you recovered from different kinds of sicknesses and illness, so many people, they go for operations upon operations and they recover. Some of them without operation, they go on. Many of them operations upon operations, they recover. So he says, even if the doctor had to say that this is a tough case, this one is a tough one, how many times he survived, then to what? Finally the person is going to go. So therefore, my dear brothers, my sisters, and those listening over channel Islam and receivers, this Mubarak night, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has blessed us to seek forgiveness. Let us put our heart, mind and soul into the dua. Allah Ta'ala's doors of maghfirat and forgiveness are open, right from Maghrib till morning. Is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive? Is there anyone seeking sustenance that I may give sustenance? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when He opens His doors of maghfirat and forgiveness and mercy, then can there be any limit? So let us not lose hope. We may be very weak, we may be full of sins, we may be full of evil, but we make up our mind that, Ya Allah, we are not going to return to that. And we want a change. We want to become obedient to you and your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then see what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. Believe me, as I always say, we go on diet from so many different things. Go on diet from sins and see what Allah ta'ala gives in the heart. So we'll have just few minutes of zikrullah to make bring our focus right. And then we will make dua. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Ya Rab, karam se apne tu dono jahan de, jo mustahiq ghazab ka hai usko aman de. The meaning of which is, oh Allah, with your kindness, we are not asking on the basis of our ibadah, zikr, tilawah. Out of your kindness, your ihsan, your favor, give us the best of this world too and the best of the hereafter. We must ask for the best of both worlds. Jo mustahiq ghazab ka hai usko aman de. Ya Allah, we know that we are deserving of your punishment, of your wrath, of your anger, of your azab, because of our deeds, our actions, our evils. But, Ya Allah, you don't love punishment. You dearly love forgiveness. So therefore, we are seeking from you salvation. We are asking you for amnesty. Governments of the world give amnesty. Ya Rab, karam se apne tu dono jahan de. Jo mustahiq ghazab ka hai usko aman de. Allah, 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 Allah,
Sinful servants of yours. But where do we go, my Allah? Where do we go? Garche pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda. Tere dar par tera banda wa ummeed-e karam. We come to your door with great hope in your mercy and forgiveness. Garche pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda. दर पर तेरा बंदा व उम्मीदे करम आया तेरे दर पर तेरा बंदा व उम्मीदे करम आया अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह रब्बिल आलमीन والصلاه والسلام على سيد الانبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, my most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, most loving, most caring Allah. Oh my most beneficent, most merciful Allah. You blessed us with life, you blessed us with sight, you blessed us with hearing, with speech, with our heart, liver, lungs, kidneys, blood is all functioning. Ey Rabbi Kareem, you blessed us with wealth, you blessed us with homes, you blessed us with transport, you blessed us with risk and sustenance. Oh my beloved Allah, how ungrateful we are. We use your very given bounties and ni'mats for your disobedience. My beloved Allah, we acknowledge every sin that we have committed. We are not justifying any of our sins. We are not justifying any of our weaknesses, my beloved Allah. You have seen everything that we have done. You have heard everything we have spoken. You could have seized us there and then when we were committing adultery, fornication, watching porn sites, taking drugs, drinking wine, or engaging in any other kind of haram activity. You could have destroyed us there and then. You could have embarrassed us. You could have brought shame and disgrace and humiliation. But how loving you are, how caring you are. How compassionate and merciful and tolerant you are. My beloved Allah, you gave us another opportunity to make tawbah before you. Ey Rabbi Kareem, you didn't destroy us, you did not embarrass us. My beloved Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have been committing. Tonight in this Mubarak night, we have extended our begging bowl before you, my Allah. Oh, my beloved Allah, the more we beg of you, the more pleased and happy you become. Your doors of forgiveness are wide open. Your doors of mercy are wide open. Hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, mujrim aur khatakar. Whatever we may be, my Allah, even if our sins are more than the waves of the ocean, more than the grains of sand on earth, more than the raindrops that fall from the skies, if our sins are more than your entire creation put together. Your maghfirat, your forgiveness, ocean is so vast, so vast. that just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness is sufficient to wash away our sins. May Allah bless the entire mankind with hidayat. Make everyone worthy of entry into Jannah. Bless us with complete hidayat. Ay Rabbi Kareem, forgive our major sins and minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of night. There was no question of darkness for you, my Allah. Even when we are committing sins in the privacy of our homes or in the darkness of nights or in the hotel rooms you are watching. My beloved Allah, you who bless billions of people with sight, how can you be blind to our actions? Even if there is a tiny little black ant crawling on a pitch black rock in the darkest of all nights, you are aware of the movement of that ant. Ey Rabbi Kareem, have mercy upon us. Open the floodgates of your mercy for us. Forgive our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, Ummat of Nabiya Paak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, forgive the Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. He dearly loved his Ummat. He cried so much for his Ummat. He used to stand whole night in prayer. His feet used to swell. He was masoom. He was sinless. But my beloved Allah, how much he cried for us. He was stoned in Taif. He was stoned in Uhud. He fell down unconscious. Blood oozed from his body. But still he made dua, Allahumma hdi qawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamun. Give hidayat to my people. Ey Rabbi Kareem, tonight we have extended our begging bowls. Forgive each and every one of us. Open the floodgates of your mercy for us. Make us yours and become ours. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, with the love of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ey Rabbi Kareem, bless us with barakat in our businesses, barakat in our homes, barakat in our life, barakat in our time. Ya Allah, when our risk is being recorded, Ya Allah, record halal risk in abundance for us. Ey Rabbi Kareem, record halal risk in abundance for us. Don't make us muhtaj of anyone, my Allah. Bless us from your unlimited treasures. Ey Rabbi Kareem, اے رب کریم تجھے چھوڑ کے ہم گندے جائے کہاں تیرے سوا ہمارا کوئی سہارا نہیں تیرے سوا کوئی ہمارا نہیں there is no one for us besides you my Allah our life in your control our sight our hearing our speech the ground on which we walk is in your control اے رب کریم Bless us with barakat in every ni'mat. Give us the tawfiq to earn correctly and spend correctly. Ay Rabbi Kareem, distance us from backbiting, distance us from jealousy, from malice, from greed, from pride, from arrogance. Ay Allah, clean and purify our hearts. Bless us with the hearts that you give to your friends and to your walis. Ay Rabbi Kareem, Ay Rabbi Kareem, Oh my beloved Allah, how long are we going to walk on the surface of the earth with dirty hearts? We have made garbage bags of our hearts. Ey Rabbi Kareem, we have filled all the filth into our hearts, through our eyes, through our ears, through our tongues. Ey Rabbi Kareem, clean and purify our hearts. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members, Ummat of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ey Rabbi Kareem, hame ek bana de aur nek bana de. Accept all the works of deen that are taking place. Bless all workers of deen with ikhlas. Ey Rabbi Kareem, bless us with sincerity in all our actions and our deeds. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, If our name is included in the list of those who are going to depart this year, then don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, prostitute quarters, popping drugs in our mouths, a bottle of wine in our hands. Ey Rabbi Kareem, jo aaya hai ya aaj kal jayega, کوئی دم میں یہ دم نکل جائے گا ایک دن ورنہ ہے آخر موت ہے If our name is included in that list, then may Allah, when the time is of departure, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyiba, with burial in Baqi. Tamanna hai ke gulzar hai Madina ab watan hota. Waha ke gulshano mein koi apna bhi chaman hota. Basar ab zindagi apni diyare quds mein hoti. Wahi jeeta, wahi marta, wahi goro kafan hota. My beloved Allah, those who are in search of marriage partners, bless them with pious, righteous, compatible marriage partners. Those who have no children, bless them with pious, righteous children. Those whose children have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Surat-e-Mustaqim. Make them the coolness of the eyes of the parents. Give the parents the tawfiq to give the children the proper upbringing. Give us the himmat and courage to throw out of our homes and lives all those things that's causing so much of corruption. Ay Rabbe Kareem, hame nek bana de. Hame sehat de, afiyat de, salamati de. Bless us with a life of respect and honor. Bless us with your closeness. Fill our hearts with the love and ishq of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, if our mouth and death is not muqaddar and destined in Madina Sharif, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Let it be the best day of our lives. Ay Rabbe Kareem, ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. Hamare iman ki hifazat farma, protect our iman, protect our worlds, protect our homes, protect our life, protect our children. Protect the ummat of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ay Rabbe Kareem, especially in Palestine. Oh my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, Yahudiyon ke zulm se unko najat ata farma. Create the conditions for the liberation of Palestine. Ay Rabbe Kareem, Miraj of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam took place from Masjid Aqsa. Aaj hamara uske upar koi control nahi raha. Ay Allah, zalim Yahudi ko hidayat de, give them hidayat. But if they have made up their minds, they will continue with oppression, tyranny and suppression. Then, Ya Allah, destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and the Thamud. In Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Sudan, Somalia, oh my beloved Allah, in every part of the world, wherever the ummah is suffering, remove the suffering, the pain, the hardships and problems. Mujahideen Islam ki madad aur nusrat farma. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, pain and suffering of mankind around the globe, whether it's due to floods or earthquakes or gale force winds or any other kind of calamity. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove the pain and suffering. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, so many have lost their parents, some have lost their children, some have lost their family members. And so many in the ummat of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have passed away. Ay Rabbe Kareem, fill everyone's grave with noor. Bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Ay Rabbe Kareem, overlook their shortcomings, sins and faults. My beloved Allah, in this Mubarak night, we extremely weak servants of yours. We beg of you the best of dunya, the best of akhirah, the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. My beloved Allah, bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begged for us, especially in Hajjatul Wida. Oh my Allah, with the leadership of Rasul Paak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, 124,000 companions, each and every one of them a shining star. When they made labbaik, what a labbaik that must have been. Ya Allah, all the du'as that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made in the final pilgrimage. Hajr aswad ko chum karke jo manga, mataf mein chal kar jo manga, and the du'as that he made at Rukne Yabadi, and the du'as that he made at Multazam, and the du'as that he made in the Hatim, and the du'as that he made behind Maqam Ibrahim, and the du'as that he made on Safa and Marwa, the du'as that he made in Mina, and especially in Arafat, that sinless, masoom Nabi,
from Zohar till Maghrib, he extends his Mubarak hands and he prays for us, he prays for us, he prays for us. In Muzdalifa, in all other places, Ya Allah bless us with all the things that he asked for us in his entire life. Bless the Ummat with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the entire Ummat of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ay Rabbi Kareem, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations, the tamanna that is in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night, in this Mubarak night. Ay Rabbi Kareem, fulfill all their good wishes, good desires, good aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the sicknesses, the weakness. Ya Allah, we cannot be aware of everybody's problems, but you are well aware. There are so many that have undergone operations. There are so many that be undergoing operations. There are so many that have met up with accidents. There are so many suffering from other sicknesses. Ya Allah, there are people suffering from financial problems. Whatever the difficulties, problems, with your fazal, kindness and ihsan, remove the difficulties, problems and the... اے رب کریم حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے صدقے میں ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. گرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہاں جائے تیرا بندہ, تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ بامید کرم آیا. Our hearts before Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.